action, and we looked at Heidi Baker on the streets by the Embankment here in London. And last week, I was started really by thinking about the goodness of God, which led me on to Isaiah and the fact that God forgives us and then goes into a divine amnesia and can't remember our sins anymore. That once God has forgiven us, that's it, we're forgiven. He doesn't remember what we did. And from there, it seems to me that because we are forgiven, then we're free. God has forgiven us, and because of Jesus, we are completely free. So even though you may think we're going backwards in Galatians, there does make some sense in my head at least, because this first verse, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We used to sing a song when at HTB years ago, we used to sing a song, which I won't sing to you, but it was sort of, well, I will. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. See, it's all in there. These songs go in there, and you can't get them out. So, but it's a great way to learn scripture, because actually, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, there's a truth, isn't it? That's a statement. So Paul, writing to the Galatians, is giving us a statement of truth. And our problem is that we often find it difficult to believe it. Like we were saying just now with the truths that we were just singing in our worship. Big, big truths about the nature of God and the love of the Father. But we struggle to receive it. Eugene Peterson said this. He said, "Freedom is a delicate and subtle gift, easily perverted and often squandered." It's a good statement, isn't it? You can pervert freedom into something you want it to be, or you can just waste it. Squandered, wasted. So actually, we often struggle to receive the freedom that we have in us. And Paul, as you know, is writing to the people of Galatia that he's visited before, and now he's writing them a letter because he's heard in the previous chapters that they've received false teaching, they've gone back off the rails, and they've gone back to thinking that the law is what it's all about. So basically, verses 2 to 6 all talk about the law versus grace. So the word circumcision basically is symbolic of the law, okay, the Jewish law. And so his point is, if you accept circumcision, you have to accept the entire law. And that was, as we know, hundreds of laws that by that time were being put out that they had to live by. And he's declaring that there is absolutely no grace in that law. And he's saying it's all about being seen to be okay. It's what religion really is. It's what man has made of God's grace, is to turn it into a set of do's and don'ts. You must do this, you can't do that. It's all about law. And so he's saying that that is not the way to live. He says you can't, in verse 4, you can't earn your way to heaven by works but by grace. And that it is a free gift. Which one is verse 4? By the law, you've been alienated from Christ. There we go. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. You see, these are deep truths that Paul is giving them. Though if you just say, I'm going to do it right, is you're going to miss the truth. You're just going to turn up and do everything right and look the part, but it actually won't be in your hearts. That's what he's saying. So I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he said that he'd been going to church for years, brought up in church, and then as a young adult, he had a look around that church, and he thought, you know what? These people are not kind. They're not generous. They backbite. They gossip. They don't love each other. And he walked away from church. And that really saddened me. And he's still away from church, which basically means he's away from Jesus, because what people see in church is what they think God is like. So that's the point that Paul is making, is you've fallen away from grace. You're alienated from Christ if you just want to do the laws and the regulations. And I think that's so sad, isn't it? We fall away. But in verse 5, we receive through the Holy Spirit. And of course, if you do church and you miss out the Holy Spirit, which some do, then you're actually in trouble. Because we receive through the Holy Spirit. So he's trying to say to them, look, you don't want to be like this. This is not freedom. This is just about looking good and being right. And then he goes on from verses 7 to 12 to say, don't listen to those people that have come, that have taught you incorrectly. Try very hard to keep your minds open to what I said when I came to you. And he does this analogy, doesn't he, of running a race. He does this several times in his epistles. You are running a good race, verse 7. Who cut in on you? So the analogy is that you're actually going along nicely and somebody literally stops you from running your race and stops you from obeying the truth. And he says, you know, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Only takes one little fib to say, oh, I wouldn't do it that way. Oh, I wouldn't do it that way. Definitely not. And these days in our culture, do you not think we have those little bits of yeast all over the place? The culture says, oh, no, I wouldn't. You can't possibly have faith today because we have reason and science. You can't possibly think that this is the Bible can possibly have any truth in it. All of those doubts that come at us and come and are taught in schools, you know, all of those things throw us off, don't they, today? They throw us into confusion. And I think, you know, as it says here, I think the pressures on us as Christians today and society today are absolutely huge, which is why I'm delighted if people are receiving prayer, as they are, if we get out there and we ask them, because, you know, that is fantastic. If people are open to receiving prayer, that really gives us hope that if we can be bold enough to do that. And Paul goes on and actually says, you know, I really hate those people that spread false lies amongst the believers of Jesus. These are all new believers in Galatia. He's told them about Jesus and he's left them. And he comes up with this wonderful thing at the end of verse 12 where he says, I wish they would go away and emasculate themselves. Now, there are other ways to say that. Emasculate is a good word. I do hope you all know what it means because I really don't want to have to define it more definitively. Define more definitively. But it's very strong, isn't it? He's basically saying, I wish they'd go away and take away any power that they have by emasculating themselves. I'll stop there. I mean, do you ever feel like that? And he's saying, you know, if I wasn't preaching the truth, they wouldn't still be persecuting me. Because the offense of the cross is such that people will persecute us. If we say Jesus is the only way and that not all religions are the same, we will be told that we're wrong or that we're not nice people or that we're not preaching the truth. So in our day, just like in Paul's, you absolutely have to hold to what you know to be true and have the strength to stand up against people, but in grace, in love. Because actually, verse 6 is what Paul is all about. Faith expresses itself through love. So although Paul is being quite harsh and saying, I wish they'd all go away and remove their power, he says, do it through love. But he means it, doesn't he? It really matters to him that people are not speaking against Jesus, that they're not coming against the truth. And I just, you know, I don't know how you are when you watch the news or you listen to somebody talking. I don't know how passionate you get about some of the things they're saying in terms of they may be preaching something that's totally opposite to what we believe. I don't know. I can get quite vehement about some of these things. Because it's just people saying things that are very different. Our culture is saying things that really go against the truths here, just like in Paul's day. The battle is on, and we really do need to know what we are saying. But we must always say everything in love. Because, as he goes on to verse 13 and 14, he's basically saying that is the whole law, isn't he? The whole law is fulfilled in love. You know, you're called to be free, but not to go around and have a good time at everyone else's expense. Your freedom does not mean you should hurt anybody else. Your freedom does not mean that actually you don't treat other people as you would wish to be treated. It means exactly the opposite. You have to treat everyone in the way that you wish to be treated. You have to go and speak to everyone else with love. And if you don't do that, you're going against Jesus' commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself, which Jesus says in the Gospels. After he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, Paul is very insistent here that love is the way we do it. But love doesn't have to be wimpy love. That's what he's saying. You know, it doesn't have to be weak and weedy love. It can be strong. Strong and passionate love in the non-sexual sense. Strong, passionate feeling for Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Free to serve God by looking outward. Free to love others. That is the true law of God. But there's and as we know, the rest of the chapter talks about the war that goes on between our sinful nature, as they call the flesh, and the spiritual nature. And we've covered that before. But it is a daily battle in us, isn't it? It really is. And we need to know there is a battle that goes on in us. And it will never, ever go away. Because the deeper you go in with Jesus, the more the battle intensifies. Because we also have somebody who wars against our spiritual nature, as you know. The devil does not want you to live by the Spirit. But I think if you want to live in freedom, so the verse 1 freedom, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, can only manifest in us if we follow verse 16. And live by the Spirit, which means being in regular touch with Jesus every day. It means one-to-one, talking, dialogue with him, reading your Bibles, prayer, basically doing life with Jesus, doesn't it? Whatever you're doing, however you're there. And then we can put into practice the free gift of grace. And we can get out of that bondage of religious laws and all the things we think we should be. But you know what? Sometimes we actually choose to live in the sort of slavery of our old selves, don't we? Apparently, when the emancipation of the slaves happened in the States, there were lots of slaves that actually didn't know that they'd been set free, mainly because their owners didn't tell them. But there were others who were told who decided they actually preferred the life of being a slave rather than being free. Because it was actually safer for them, they felt. And sometimes we're like that. Once in one of my sessions with a counselor, the counselor said to me, you know, sometimes it's like we're in a jail cell and the door to our jail cell is open, but we won't walk through it. Because often it can be safer with all the dreadful things that we think are weighing us down and actually than walking through that door and actually being vulnerable and risking. So the freedom can seem very, very scary sometimes, can't it? But freedom is an absolute biblical concept. And I want to just prove that to you. The enemy doesn't want you to know that you have a right to be free, okay? In this country, we think we are free, but we're not free unless we're free in our hearts. So do you remember the back in 2012, about this time of year, I think, we had, I can't remember exactly when it was, we had the Diamond Jubilee of the Queen. Do you remember? Yes? No? Yeah?
And it rained. And she got wet. And I got wet. Because the church I was working in decided we were having an outdoor fun day and we carried on having it even though it was raining. Because that's what you did. And it was a lot of fun. It was a little bit of a damp fun, but it was a lot of fun. And the whole concept of Jubilee is a biblical concept. Did you know that?
Yeah, let's look at it, shall we? So Peter's going to stick up there Leviticus 25. So back in the Old Testament, one of the Mosaic first books, the Pentateuch, this is what it says. Count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the untended vines. For it is a jubilee and it is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. Now strip back the bits there that's about their culture specifically and recognize that they had a system. So just as we have a week and on the Sabbath day you rest, they had a 7-year cycle of sowing. So they would sow for 6 years, and in the 7th year, the fields lay fallow. And lots of farmers still do this, because otherwise the fields completely dry up, or whatever fields do. But here, the concept is that after 7 of these 7 years, the 50th year is a jubilee year, when everybody is set free. And that meant there that all the slaves that they had in that culture were set free. Everyone went back to be amongst their own clan, and they were all completely able to live off the fat of the land. And that's a concept of freedom that we just don't have anymore. And I think it would be lovely if we had a whole year where we were just joyful all year and had jubilee all year. And the actual fact is, we can. And we could have jubilee all the time. We are a Christian nation. Let's never forget that one. And this biblical principle, where it says in verse 10, sound the trumpet and proclaim liberty, that is what is written on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. So when they wrote the Constitution for the Americans, they wrote this scripture on that bell in Philadelphia. And I've seen it. It's quite a big bell. And it sits there. And it says, sound the trumpet and proclaim liberty. And that's what we need to do. So Jubilee is God's recipe for restoration, redemption, blessing. It is how we are meant to live. And our thing is that we now, living after Jesus has come into the earth, can receive liberty every day. Okay? Let me prove this to you. Luke 4, 18 and 19. So Jesus says here that he has come to be jubilee for us. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The hearers of that in that first synagogue in Nazareth would have understood completely that that meant he was talking about Jubilee. That he was proclaiming this is the year of Jubilee. And that Jesus has come to do all of these things. Freedom for the prisoners. Setting the oppressed free. Sight for the blind. Because now it is Jubilee. Now is the freedom. And we still live in that. So the biblical concept, the Old Testament concept, has now been fulfilled in Jesus, as so much other stuff is as well. It has been fulfilled in Jesus. And so we live in Jubilee all the time. And the question is, can we live as if we believe that? Can you live as free people? Can we let go of the fear stepping out of our jail cells? And every one of us will have fear and trepidation at stepping out, being known for who we truly are, not hiding. It's hard. It's a process I've been on for years. It's really hard. Still doing it. You know, to really try and be the person that God made you to be, fearlessly, free, is actually, it's a hard road. And often it comes down to, are we willing to live in the Spirit? Will we live as if the Spirit is at the center? Not as if, but with the Spirit as at the center. Or will we live with us at the center, saying, I will do this and I won't do that, or I'll have a bit of the Holy Spirit when it pleases me? That's the thing. So Paul says in Galatians, you will be free. Live by the Spirit. Live in the Holy Spirit. You know, in our world today, very secular, our political crisis, if you call it that, I'm not sure I do, but certainly upheaval, uncertainty. A lot of people are very, very worried about what's going on in our nation. We are the ones who have the freedom. Next week, we'll look at joy, because that follows straight on from freedom. You know, we're having a social upheaval. I think the world itself, all the countries of the world, are having a little bit of upheaval going on at the moment. It's a very interesting time to be alive and to be a Christian. But Peter says later on in his book, we must always give a reason for the hope that we have. So we always have the hope. We always have the hope. So really we want to take this challenge, don't we? We want to accept the challenge to live in freedom, to live in Jubilee. And can we be the sound of the trumpet to the nation? Just throw up the Ezekiel passage, if you would, very quickly. So Ezekiel is a prophet, as you know, and later on in the Old Testament, and he says, can you keep going, please? There we go. That when he sees things coming against the land, he has to blow the trumpet to warn the people. That is what Ezekiel is charged by God to do, to blow the trumpet. And if you hear the trumpet, but you don't heed the warning, the sword can come and take your life. Therefore, your blood will be on your own head. That's an Old Testament concept. Okay? He also goes on to say, the prophet, and God is telling Ezekiel, the prophet, that if he doesn't tell the people, the blood will be on his head because he didn't tell them. So the sounding of the trumpet is a wonderful metaphor for actually speaking out, using your voice, telling people the reason for the hope that you have is Jesus, which is what they're doing down at Eelbrook Common today, which is fantastic. And that's what we all have to do. So I am trying to sound the trumpet. I literally could have a trumpet if I owned one, but I don't. Okay? And you'll be very pleased to know that. But we have to sound the trumpet because actually we have a message that the world needs to hear. And if we can live in our freedom and not be brought under by all the things of the world, then actually we are shining lights. We shine like stars in our generation, do we not? As it says in Philippians, we should be shining like stars. I'd like to shine like a star. But all of us face this challenge of receiving the freedom that we have been given. So let's just pray together, shall we? And then we'll move into taking communion.